interview with Uncle David Williams, the 29th of October, 2013. So... can you tell me your name and when and where you were born and who your mob is, please?
My name is David Alan Gordon Williams, and I was born in 1947, and I'm a Bundjalung boy. My mob lived at Byugle, which is just inland of Grafton, and I was born at South Grafton Hospital. And being a Bundjalung fella, we're pretty proud. Good country, all the way to the border.
It's a nice part of the world. It's beautiful. So can you tell me when you joined the armed forces?
I was in the school cadets when I was at school. At a couple of schools I went to, but all my extended family were all army fellows, so national service come along and I know now that Aboriginal people didn't have to go, but I had a lot of white mates too, so they were getting called up, and my name was in. We didn't distinguish in those days on paper that you had to be Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, we were just Aussies. So they were getting called up, and I thought, well, I'm going to be in, I'm going to join what I like, which is the Navy. And that was in 1965.
And so why did you choose the Navy over, say, the Army or the Air Force? Was there any particular reason?
I just thought that I need to have a look at the world. Mm. And I'd rather go around in a boat than have to walk. So, so it wasn't too difficult to work it out.
So did you enjoy it when you started? Was it what you thought it would be? Or?
I always have fun. Some days are better than others, but no, I enjoyed it. I was fit. You know, I was playing third grade with Balmain in those days, and so fitness wasn't a problem. A lot of new mates. And, yeah, it was good. Plenty of sport and good training.
And did you serve on in any missions overseas?
I was in Indonesian Confrontation, Borneo, Malaya, Vietnam, and submarines.
And how did you find that experience?
The surface side of the Navy or the underwater side?
Oh, both of them.
Just did our job. They call us fellas, 26 mile snipers. You just fire big guns, but my job's engineering, so it's to get the platform to where we're going to be. So, in engineering, that means you keep the refrigeration, air conditioning, gas turbines, steam turbines, hydraulics, pneumatics, and weapons all operational so that the boys can do their job. My uncle was an engine driver, so I was like steam, and was on steam ships. He was on a steam train. A bit of a difference, but anyway, I got to be a steam engine driver.
So you went down in the submarines as well.
Yeah.
So how did you find that being?
I can trust him, fellas, more than I can say in civilian life.
So would you be down under the ocean for several?
Months. Yep.
And how did you cope with not seeing the sun for?
It's irrelevant. So if I ever go to jail, I don't care when the door's shut.
So it didn't worry you?
Nah. Submariners are spies. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Stick our nose in everyone else's business. And if you get caught, you're not coming home. So it doesn't matter whether it's war or peace time. That's what we do.
And did you ever experience any racism?
Yeah, plenty of people call me a Chappie. But I probably deserved it because of what I called them. I said, if you fellows are so smart, how come you invented work?
That's true.
That's right. Stupid, isn't it? They want to build a house, so build it over there. But the tree they want to use the timber is down here. If that was an Aboriginal fella, he'd build his house right where the fuel source is. Less work.
Well, that's common sense, isn't it?
Well, you know, everything they do causes some misery. But it's not their fault, I feel sorry for them.
So there was never kind of any overt racism? Were you?
Oh, there's always, three or four people in any given organisation or system. Wherever you're at, they don't like it because you're black or whatever, you know, because you're smart or you got a better looking girlfriend. That's never going to change. Mm. You're not really, that's their problem. Mm. You know, you lead by example. Mm. And that's what happened in the Defence Force with all Aboriginal people, as far as I'm aware. They got to where they got promoted accordingly. And that was because of their ability and their knowledge, not because of their skin colours.
So did you find, so you served from 1965 to
93. So that's quite short break in the middle. Mm-hmm. Well, it was recalled because of, Nave was pretty short on technical people. So I was in the bar there at the Chevron Hilton, and all the boys were on the beer, and there was a boat going back to Hawaii and other places, and I went back in, so. For a jolly, so yeah, I liked it. I missed it when I got out because it's just different. And wasn't that I couldn't get a job or anything, had my own business and property maintenance and had to employ people, built the business up to maintenance over 800 buildings and dwellings. And yeah, so that wasn't the problem, it's just that. It's just different out in Civvy Street.
So how did you find serving in, say, for instance, Vietnam? How did you find that experience?
We were only doing escort duties there on Vampire, which is destroyed down in the Darling Harbour. And when we were in Vung Tau, we're in defence watches. I was a ship's diver, so you have to dive every 4 hours, check the bottom for bombs or saboteurs and things like that. So we just did our job. So as far as actually on the ground stuff, that the army and so forth, well, no, I wasn't directly affected or subjected to that. But this, you know, it's the nature of the job. I mean, they reckon we're silly for going to sea. I remember one incident there one night. The current got up over 3 knots and we were doing a half-necklet search. And anyway, we got into all sorts of strife. And they found us about, hit myself and Debbie Reynolds up at about 12:45, floating out in the middle of the South China Sea. I don't know how they found a black fella in the middle of the night, but they did. So some of the mates said, "What do you think of sharks?" I said, "Too busy swimming, mate. Having time freaking thinking sharks." But anyway, things happen.
So you got sort of drifted out.
Yeah, the current. You can't swim against it.
Yeah.
High currents. And I was a surface swimmer, so I had to duck dive. Didn't fill up the intakes for bombs or whatever, limpets and things. And the lines got tangled and I got dragged under and yeah, all sorts of strife.
That would have been a scary experience.
Yeah, well, I got to the surface, that's the main thing.
Yeah. You knew they'd come and get you?
Well, I mean, it was night time, you know. So, yeah, there's no lights. You don't have lights on to say, please shoot in this direction.
Yeah.
Because we would have come under fire from the shoreline. But anyway, yeah, we got away with it, that's the main thing.
So are you involved in the Coloured Diggers project?
I was a bit more involved once upon a time. And I'm all for that recognition of the diggers. As far as the marches go, which are on Anzac Day, I'm pretty committed, and I was committed long before they started building up the marches through Redfern, which is a fantastic feeling, is to be in that march in Redfern. But it clashes with the other Anzac Day functions. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, every time I miss an Anzac Day function and I come back the next year, there's another four or five of my colleagues that are deceased. So, you know, I mean, I shipped and fought and slept and ate with these guys over here I served with. I can't afford to miss those. We can have, like most sub-branches and clubs, have their community celebrations the week before or the week after Anzac Day, not on actual Anzac Day, because us blokes should be with our units. You know, I know some people don't like the fact that I do that, they're not the ones that, you know, there's only five guys left of the division I joined up with. They're all the rest of dead. And I'm not an old man, I'm old as far as Aboriginals go, I suppose. But, it hurts. There's not a lot of, you know, they've died from, service-related matters, asbestosis, mesothelioma, and heart attacks, cancers, and all these things that we're subjected to. That was before a bullet was fired at us. So, you know, and that's across all three services. A good mate of mine, Harry, he was in the Air Force. Well, he was subjected to fuels, which are carcinogenic. And it takes its toll, especially on family and a lot of birth defects with kids, like in Bungtao. All the defoliants that they're used in the jungles would wash into the rivers and come down to the the river, the harbour, well, we were drinking that water. So you boil the salt water up, collect the steam, condense it, and that's fresh water, but doesn't get rid of the toxins. So that's why the cancer rate is 12% higher for sailors than it is for the Air Force and Army. We didn't know at the time. It's like the atomic tests. All the scientists had protective clothing on. None of the troops did. That's not concluding the Aboriginals that they just bombed anyway.
So do they provide any compensation for that?
There is compensation. Very hard to prove against the system. They wait till there's about four or five left and then set the Americans with Agent Orange and so forth. They're well in advance of our system. But our overall compensation system is probably the best in the world. But the trouble is you've got to go through that maze to get access to it. And unless you have experienced people to assist you, you won't get those disabilities, which should be forthcoming, really. It's just annoying, you know, because I know heaps of colleagues that, you know, every time they fire the guns on Vampire, cafe is under B turret, which is the second turret from the forecastle. Well, the shock and vibration through the ship, all the pipes, the steam pipes which are insulated and lagged, all the dust and that falls down into the meal you're eating anyway. That's just there. So anyway, I look back now and I think, my goodness. You do your job.
So there's only, sorry, how many did you say? Four or five left?
About six of my division, my intake left alive. And that's sad. Yeah. And a lot of them suffered. And, you know, as I say, we're all in the same place. We all should be on the same sort of disabilities as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, it's you just keep, you know, doing your bit. So that's what my main focus is looking after and informing with the Department of Veteran Affairs, other fellow diggers of their entitlements, and especially with the Aboriginal component, who there's not enough in the communities out there to make people, like in the medical centres, you should be able to walk into the medical centre and there should be a big rack and it should have all veteran affairs matters there. And someone in there should know what to say and when to say it. And that would be a bonus in the prison system. There's a lot of ex-diggers in prison because of mental health issues. And there is no line on the paper to say, have you had any military service? And I say to some of my diggers when I go to Silverwater or other places, I said, I understand, but one, you're in here and you're Aboriginal. I said, so you've got two strikes against you, you know. I said, I've got a case where veterans have been in there and they haven't had their tablets that they needed in the remand system and they're on antidepressants and things like that. That just escalates the problem or magnifies the problem. And but hopefully it'll change.
So is that part of what you do now? Do you visit?
Oh, yeah, I do. I get called up to go and help people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know, like case officers. At different conferences and so forth, I always talk about health and do you know anyone that's been in the military? Everywhere I am. And I always talk to the guys and say, a lot of them say, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. And I said, well, how do you know? You know? Yeah. So it doesn't hurt to go and get a checkup and ask. And I said, it's mainly for your family. So it's not about yourself, it's for your family. And so that they get some assistance in these matters. Because too many of the guys have left it too late. Ended up deceased, and mum's left in all sorts of strife, and it's very hard to prove what the spouse did if they're deceased. You know, you just got to, because all his mates aren't around, you got to track them down and find out. And that's what keeps me going, knowing that every day there'll be someone out there that I can give them some information which will help them.
So you think there should be more support for ex-veterans in the health?
Oh, yeah. I just got sick myself recently, and had I not sort of been in the loop myself, probably, you're talking 2.5 months in private hospital, so it's a big bickies.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do now? You were talking to me before about working with some young kids and stuff.
Yeah, well, I was president of the RSL Youth Club for about 14, 15 years. My kids went through there. I've always been involved since the 70s. You know, I was the director of different stages and on the committee of the RSL. But that youth club influences probably 600 kids at any given time, you know, young children for gymnastics and different sports. And this is all in the local community, and that's all kids. We have 41 different nationalities, so we're teaching them a little bit how to be an Aussie. And I'm sort of chair of the Aboriginal Advisory Committee to Council, and that's just for community activities and so forth, and National Vice Pres of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Veterans and Service Association, President of New South Wales, Aboriginal TI Services Association, volunteer support person for police when kids are in strife of the night, welfare and pensions officer, an advocate for Army of Veteran Affairs, volunteer, and what else? Oh, I can't even think.
Lots of things. Sounds like you're very busy. Yeah. Sounds like you're doing more work now than when you were in the Navy.
Probably do. Probably do. And yeah, but it's necessary. They're not my kids. Mm. But if you don't do anything, you get a bad product. You know, so it turns around to get you. I mean, I walk around the streets now. You know, hello, Mr. Williams. Kids out of school. Hello, Uncle Dave. Yeah. So it's not hard to say g'day. Mm. You know, whether you know. Anyway, it's what's expected. Just because I don't wear a uniform doesn't mean I'm not defending the country 24/7. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to do. Otherwise, the corporate world will just rape us. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing the country. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to be a young person trying to raise a family without family support. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just ridiculous. Like a house in this. $600,000 minimum. I mean, the young people will afford that. It's ridiculous. Mm. It's just so wrong. But you do what you do. And it's not a case of where and how. It's, you know, the parents have got to get involved. And I just had a very strong woman that could put up with my months and months away in the Defence Force and did a good job on two kids. Michael and Melissa, who in turn will do a good job on their children. Mm. One hopes. So I'm very fortunate, you know, in that aspect.
So you obviously enjoy working with young people, and it's not just Aboriginal.
I work with them.
Work with everyone.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that bloody material. I've got to get up there. I knew this wind was coming. I've got to put the rest of the screws in.
And is there anything else you'd like to add, or anything else?
No, if you've got a bit of time, you really should come out and I'll show you what's in this area, mm-hmm. which will marry up. And there's John Kinsella. Have you interviewed him yet?
No.
He's a two-time Olympian, Army Commandos. He lives over the other side of Blacktown. I'd like you to perhaps have a chat with Rex. He's the one that's got those mental issues, the short-term memory loss, but he can remember everything in detail about his job and everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that might enhance your story. Mm-hmm. He's a beautiful man that's broken. Mm-hmm. If you get what I'm saying, yeah. It's not all neat and tidy.
His last name? So you also, so you're doing a lot of work with veterans as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And assisting them in health and...
Well, I help them with their claims. My oldest mm-hmm. client is an 89-year-old woman, World War II, lives oh. over Roosby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going for a war bed.
So were there many Aboriginal people serving when you joined?
Oh, I think there was about 18 on our ship, mm-hmm. but only about five of us. Well, yeah, five of us identified.
Okay. And did you all sort of stick together?
No. No, well, they're different branches.
Okay.
I was engineering. Mm-hmm. A couple of guys were what we call executive or seamanship. Communications, mm. You know, it's like the cooks. Yeah. Cooks and stewards stick together. The engineers stick together, you know.
So you got your own little
yeah, we've got factions. Our own cliques. I mean, you know, if we're in the 40 team, it's different, but I'm talking about, you know, they're the guys that do the same job as you, so, mm. yeah, so you know, we're all mates, but no, it wasn't like that. And I've never been sort of. A couple of guys there are pretty quiet. Bob Blair was on Vampire, the judge.
Oh,
okay. Married to Kay.
So was that just, did you just serve on the one ship? What did you?
No, I was 30 several. Years, I was on several. My first ship and last boat were down in Darling Harbour. So my first ship's Vampire. Okay. My last boat is the Chief, is Onslow. Submarine next to it.
And, you left in 1993, so why did you leave
the Navy?
Sorry?
Women.
Women.
I don't like mixing the crews. I can do without thousands. Mm. You know, it wasn't that there's nothing to do with intelligence and that, it's just problems. Mm. And I know many had called Marshall and many people got into strife because of, you know, Peter Meads and all. Yeah, I was never trained for that environment, so too old and cranky time to go.
So, did you when you left? Did you find that you had a lot of support from?
I was here the other day, and a young girl from TI rang and asked for assistance. Now I've been here. This was 2 years ago, so I got on with my mate. I said, "Well, you need to sort this out." And I knew the bloke, and he asked her to do something, but in a way he would ask. You know, he's sort of my era, which wasn't appropriate, obviously. Anyway, she couldn't have done the job, it was too heavy. So he gave her a serve. Anyway, he didn't know that she was so upset, but I mean, she should have went through the divisional system, not ring some old cranky old sailor that she knew. Years gone by. I'm in Civvy Street now, not in the military.
Well, she obviously thought you could help her.
Well, I did. Yeah. It's not, but there's a system in place, and I can see the trouble that would have caused. My God. As I said, one occasion there with a young girl, she was 18, ends up pregnant. All the boy was interested in was getting a bit of laundry done. Anyway, there's an abortion required, she's in St. George. And I went and seen her immediate supervisor, another woman, the pay office. And I said, "Look, your kid's in trouble, how about sorting it out?" "Oh, Chief, if that had been a bloke, I'd have pulled him over the counter and smacked him. You know, if you're not looking after your troops." Goes out and sees the kids, same age as my daughter at that stage, I suppose. Mm. A traumatic time for a woman. Going to parents in West Australia. Sort of the problem, but, I'm supposed to run an operational workshop at an operational base for submarines, not babysitting other stuff, which is a crisis stage, admittedly, but it's not my job being daddy or whatever. And I just used to. And the guys, they sort of. The mannerism it changes when you've got a mixed crew. That's why it always fails. So it's just on the go. So it was a few of my mates. I said, "We're too old. It's got to go. We don't need this."
So when you left, did you start your business after you left?
No, I had a bit of time off, but I was sort of doing little jobs on the side.
Okay. And what was your business? Was that in engineering?
Property maintenance.
Okay.
Fixing this and that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. When I went out the first time, I was doing a bit of security work. It wasn't too... paid the bills, but it wasn't too challenging.
So the maintenance business was quite successful.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And so now you're just, you're semi-retired other than the
I used to do voluntary work. Yeah, that you do. Superannuation and all that stuff these days. Mm. So, you know, it keeps you busy and the other things in the community. Mm. Sort of with the RSL. And, you know, just trying to make people aware of the input of Aboriginal diggers over the years, which is pretty important. Mm. So we had a in the War Memorial and in various states, all pretty well hooked up. They're going to open that memorial in on the 10th in Adelaide. You should go down there if you can see your way clear.
Yeah.
That's on the 10th and dedicated to Indigenous servicemen. And, yeah, unfortunately I've got a function here for our mob. Flying straight down there and coming straight back.
Oh, okay.
So, but no, it's good.
So where's that memorial going to be in Adelaide? So they're going to be like in a park somewhere in Adelaide?
Yeah.
So it'd be similar to the one that they're doing in Sydney?
Hmm. So Uncle Larry's going down there, and Lisa, have you interviewed her?
Lisa Pulver Jackson. Mm. No, I haven't yet. I've emailed her.
Yeah, well they're going down there. You should see if you can get a flight with them. From an airport, it shouldn't cost you, wouldn't it? You do the PR thing, and they should get you on.
Yeah.
Fly down and back for the day.
It would be nice.
I'm telling you what to do, so.
So why do you think it's important that we have these memorials that honour Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander servicemen and women?
Well, it just shows the resilience of an Aboriginal person. I mean, I don't know whether, if it hadn't been done prior, whether I'd have been so forthcoming, you know, to say, well, hang on a minute, ear blokes knocked off the land and everything. Why should I help you? So that'd be my logic. That's why I never smoked. Mm-hmm. Used to watch the movies and they used to enslave Africans and make them grow tobacco and make white people rich. So I had a big hate. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as grog. I said, they couldn't handle Indians losing all the time. Mm-hmm. Couldn't see the logic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, just shoot the frigging arrow where he smokes. You've got to hit him. This is how I used to think. Big, I was going to get even. But I had to play the game and been doing it ever since. But, and as far as, you know, alcohol and all that, I've always, well, I never drank so, until I joined the military. And that, but I was always conscious of. Yourself and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Well, obviously I've made a fool of myself like everyone, I suppose, but in conjunction with a lot of other drop kicks around me, so that lessens the way. But yeah, if you can't get up and go to work the next day, don't do it.
Mm.
That's just pretty basic for me.
Mm. Thank you for that. Is there anything else you'd like to
add? No, that's fine. Or just that, just the, there's a few other characters out here that you might be interested in. Like if you can, Little John, he's come out of Vietnam, he's gone to Munich. The next minute he hears AK-47s going off slaughtering the Jews in the Olympic Village. I mean, how does that cycle? I mean, he's in a jungle. Next minute, sort of those sort of questions is, and what racism he may have faced. So, we lead. He's a leader. Mm-hmm. There's people that hate you, but it's supposing the significance of the military. Mm-hmm. You know, in respect, he done more time as scout than he should have. They're supposed to share it. But no, you're a black fella. You should know country. Get out the front. It's typical. Words to scouts, cubs, whatever. Mm. It's, well, you're from here. Away you go. He shoves away. So, whether you call that racism or what, I don't know. But the military teaches one in all. And they did a pretty good job. They certainly give you some survival skills above and beyond what you already had.